I want to start doing some practicals.
Washing your feet.
Well, we're going to see, but there's nothing to be embarrassed about, or whatever the case may be. So first of all, I just want to continue with this introduction. There's so much to learn, and I mean, as I'm preparing this, every time something new and some interesting things that I didn't know myself before, and I think it's amazing, or it's good that we also know about this, because we are going to make an impact. Perhaps I must say, not everybody is going to do deliverance or going into the deliverance ministry. There are some people, many of the people that we will see, are people that just want to be set free. They just want to be free from this oppression, and free from depression and anxiety and whatever the case may be, and they want to be free from the thievery and the robbery of the devil, or whatever the case may be, and they just want to enjoy their walk with Jesus. And then there are a lot of others, not that many perhaps, that want to see others get free and so on. I want to start off tonight by saying there is no such a thing. We probably know it, but I want to make it very clear again. There is no such a thing that the demon, if you are doing deliverance or whatever, that the demon can jump from that person into you. So please banish that thing from our minds. That thing does not exist. So furthermore, deliverance is not for everybody.
Hello everybody. Sorry, I'm late.
We got a delivery for this late thing.
Yeah. I know, my daughter on the phone from Cape Town.
Deliverance is for believers. So you have to believe, and you have to be a born-again Christian to be delivered. So we cannot just go and deliver people that doesn't believe. Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't agree, but okay.
Ooh, okay.
I heard a case, Jimmy Swaggart was saying, they were doing deliverance and that. And there was a guy, he was unsaved there, and then Jimmy had to go out for some reason, and this demon wouldn't come out. And this guy prayed there, and the demon came out. And then he became a Christian.
That is also possible, but the thing is, you see, first, that it can happen, but the thing is, at the end of the day, apart from the fact you have to be a believer, the person that comes for deliverance must want to be delivered.
Amen.
Yeah.
So even if you are a Christian and you don't want to be delivered, it is not going to work, guys. Cool. Many times, physical and emotional healings will happen when the legal rights of demons are cancelled and removed, and they are cast out. When you and I are having issues in our lives, whatever the issue may be, it is because of the fact that there is a legal right that you and I have given the forces of darkness into our lives. I think I've touched on that. What do I mean by a legal right? In other words, when you and I, whether it was through ignorance or whether it's willful, do something that we know is not allowed to be done, or something we didn't necessarily do something, but our ancestors did something, and this thing eventually then come back and he bites us. So another thing I just briefly would like to touch on, And I've also learned this in church. That scripture where Jesus says, if an evil spirit goes out of a man, it go to dry places. And then he will say, or he doesn't find rest, then he will say, I will go back to my house where I come from. And then he will take seven spirits more wicked than himself, and they will come and they will dwell in that person, and that person will be worse off than he was before. Now there are a couple of books that I'm studying, guys that have been in ministry for many years. One of them is Don Dickerman. Don Dickerman has traveled all over the world doing ministry all over the world, deliverance. He's probably in deliverance for 40 years, and this is what he says about that scripture, and it's in Matthew 12. And I tend to agree with what this guy is saying. I say the implication is that the demon goes out on his own. Just Matthew 12:43 says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man. It doesn't say when the unclean spirit is cast out of a man. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible doesn't say it's when it's cast. And Jesus said we must cast demons. We will cast our demons out of people. In this verse it says when it goes out of a man. Now he says Matthew 12:43. He said the implication is that the demon goes out on his own, not at the command in the name of Jesus. The demon goes out the door, looks for a better dwelling place, communicates with other demons, and go back to his house. And he says, I will return to my house, verse 44. It is still his house. In other words, this thing is the house, guys. Not the building or whatever. Our you and my body is the house. We all know this. He will then go back in the same door he came out. The door is still open. Not only that, but he also invites his demon friends that he encountered in the dry places to come with him. He then went back to see if the door was still open in his house. And it had nothing to do with the house being full of the Holy Spirit. The house was in a good condition, clean and decorated. One can, and then you make this statement, they say, you can be so full of the Holy Spirit that you are overflowing, but there can still be an open doorway in your life because of unconfessed and unrepented sin. Unconfessed sin or disobedience is what gives demons permission to re-enter the house. As long as there is disobedience in the house, that house is still his house and he still has an open doorway. All of a sudden it flipped that whole scripture on its head.
Makes sense.
He went on to say that when you cast the demon out in Jesus' name, that demon is not allowed to come back. But what will then happen is that other demons of a similar nature, they are the ones eventually that will come back.
That's if the door hasn't been closed.
That is if the door has not been closed. So I think next week we are going to look at how do you close this door? How do you make sure that it stays shut and so on?
Now what does it say in Genesis? That you are the master. You are the master of the sin, because
you have to
remember
rule
that
over
scripture.
Sin.
Yeah.
I say I will add that if more doorways are opened, more demons will come. But once the door have been closed and the demons are cast out, those demons cannot return. So it's not a matter of reading your Bible enough or praying enough that keep demons out. It is disobedience that allows them in. You know, guys, and the interesting thing is many times we are disobedient in something that we don't even realize that we are disobedient in. Many times the door opened because of an omission on the part of a believer, or because of negligence on the part of a believer. What do I mean by negligence? Say for example, I'm going to the casino and I'm playing the machine there. Many people see nothing wrong with it. But that ignorance of mine immediately caused an open door, because the Bible is very clear about this, that this type of thing, there's a spirit of luck that is involved in that thing. So the moment that you and I play this thing, because of our ignorance or because of our negligence, that thing will come and have an effect on us. Okay. Any questions so far, guys?
So Tate, basically you're inviting the demon in a way. Because of your
disobedience.
Mm. Or your ignorance.
Or your ignorance.
Yeah, because a lot of people are ignorant to the effect, and so.
Well, I think
it
often
just means that there's a door, a jar where the spirit can come in, where the demon can come in.
Well, often you really want to do this, but then you don't take it serious enough.
Mm.
And then it steps you back.
True. You see, the thing is what it says here, it goes on to say that you can read the Bible all day, you can carry on, but if you carry any unconfessed sin, then legal permission has been granted. And I think that is very, very important, that when we are spending time with the Lord, that you and I go and ask Holy Spirit, please show me where I have unconfessed sin in my life. Guys, take a piece of paper. All you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, please show me what is there in my life that I need to confess and I need to repent of. I bet you, within 20 seconds, you will have a whole list of things. You see, it's easy. I'm not saying there's something wrong with it. It's easy to say, Lord, please forgive me all my sins. But there are these little foxes that we continue with, and eventually we don't even pay attention to that. It's those little foxes that we specifically ask Holy Spirit to help us to overcome that thing. Because if we continue with this thing, eventually the result will be that we will pay the consequences. All that thing. Very interesting thing. Last week we were talking about the fact that there are millions of demons in all kinds of forms and all kinds of shapes, and there are principalities and there are powers and all those kind of things. He says what they've also noticed is that he said, and I'll just read it, he said that outside territorial spirits will come to assist the minions on the inside. So in other words, if there's demons inside of you, it says those outside, the moment that you are busy with deliverance, these demons on the inside will start crying out for assistance, and the ones from the outside, the higher ranking ones, will come in, assist these ones. So what I've experienced in my own life is it, I think it happened twice. Definitely happened twice. We were busy with deliverance. And all of a sudden, I just sense this incredible fear coming upon me. And the thoughts was just coming into my head. This, you're not powerful enough for what is happening here. And it was really a struggle just to keep my pose and to block out those thoughts. So that, and to deal with the demons in the inside. So when I read this, then I realized, but that is why all of a sudden I experienced the fear. It is that ones from the outside, they was trying to distract me to make sure that the ones in the inside continue staying in the inside.
When I was in Zambia, we were praying for that one girl, the one that had the snake in her. I'm telling you, my strength was getting sucked away from me to try and cast that demon out. In fact, it was actually sucking me in. You know, I could feel it. You know, my strength was going. I had to call on someone else to actually come and help me pray, because I realized I wasn't winning. I was actually losing, you know. That's how powerful that demon was.
The snake
in the stomach, you know.
You see, guys, the interesting thing is that because you and I have Jesus in our hearts, you and I have the victory. Obviously, these things are going to resist. Once we start doing this type of thing, you will, many times the thing just, no problem, they will go out. Some of them are really, really stubborn, and some of them can become really arrogant and even violent. And if you don't, I mean, the tricks of the trade, you learn it through how often you are doing this type of thing. I will just use a, Melanie and I went, we ministered once to a lady, but before we, I think a couple of months, probably we were still staying in Pinetown, there was this Afrikaans people that was doing deliverance, and there we've seen on how they were doing it, and when this person had become violent, all that the deliverance minister was saying is that I bind you with eternal chains to the chair. And you can see that this person on the other side is going into a state of rage, and this person will sit on this chair and he will do things like this and he cannot move. So we went to a place and we did it, and all of a sudden this woman was manifesting this incredible rage. I could, yeah, that was the third time I could feel the fear coming. And I remember Holy Spirit said to me, bind this thing with this chains, eternal chains. Now I've learned, what does the book of Proverbs say? A three-stranded cord cannot easily be broken. So I use the three-stranded cord now, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. And that thing, he can be as violent as he wants to. If you bind him to the chair, he will sit and he will make noise on the chair. He will not move because of the fact. What I've also seen is that the deliverance ministers will ask Holy Spirit to send angels to bind this thing. And he will just stand there and he will spit and siss and then I don't know whatever. And he's powerless. So the point I would like to make is that you and I have all the power. What does Jesus say? He says, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the devil. Cool.
Yeah? Quite a while ago when I lived in Port Shepson, it was early in the morning and I was busy doing my boys' school break and stuff like that. And then somebody knocks on the back door and I thought, so early in the morning. I got there, opened up, and this was a young lady or girl, which I knew from the church, and she came all the way from Port Edward, when I lived in Port Shepson. And she said to me, she just wants to talk to me. She just has so many problems. And she went on and on and on. And it was actually for the first time that I got something out, and I didn't know what on earth has happened. And she now walked outside to her up the few steps, and she was standing there, and then she told me what she all the problems is. And then I said to her, I listened to it, and really I didn't have much experience with casting out, but I had led on quite a lot. And then I just prayed for her. I just prayed for her, and I thought, just said that the Holy Spirit must help her. And the next thing is she starts to vomit.
Wow.
Green. It was green. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and here I'm standing and holding that up because I didn't want it all over the floor. I will never forget that. It was the first time ever.
You see, that is, we will look at that next week, the signs of, well, the visible signs when deliverance is happening. One of the things is the puking then. Not always happen, it can happen. Don't you guys think it's interesting? it can be very gory and okay. Very interesting also, guys. I didn't know that either. But every demon has a name.
Makes sense.
Bible says that every demon has a name.
I think every angel has a name too.
Yeah. Every angel has a name.
Yeah.
God has even named the stars.
Mm.
The interesting things about demons is that if before the fall, if they were created to bring, if their function in the kingdom of God was to bring peace, after they fell, now their function is opposite. So they, where they were demon of peace in the beginning, or angel of peace, now they're all of a sudden an angel of
chaos.
Of chaos and of war and all that. So in other words, if he was a demon of love or whatever. No, not a demon of love, an angel of spreading the love of God. Now all of a sudden his function is he's an angel of lust and of promiscuous and those kind of things. Very interesting. We don't pick fights with principalities and powers. Leave them alone, guys. Keep your focus where your authority is. And it is limited to what is yours. Venturing outside this realm is very dangerous. It is a fight you cannot win. I think we've mentioned it. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus says go and pick a fight with the principalities and authorities. Your and my authority is to set people free. You with me? So for example, I go and I bind the river spirits or whatever the case may be. I don't have the authority. If you want to bind the river spirits or whatever the case may be, feel free. Many people believe that you can do it. And I also at some point believe that I can do it, but nowadays I rather err on the side of caution. And I ask God to go and do it, that God will send his angels to do it. You see, guys, you and I have authority in our own homes. So whatever is in my house, in other words, if all of a sudden there's constantly division in my house, whatever the case may be, or there's whatever, you and I have the authority in your house to bind that thing and to command that thing. To get out of your house. We all know those kind of things. Cool. Any questions?
So, Tess, when you're praying for someone and suddenly there's a manifestation, then don't you have the authority then?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, we will also get
in
to
people
that.
You have.
Yeah. So
in people you can bind and cast out.
Yeah.
But not in the principalities. Not the principality.
So principalities means what now? Is that like an open space or is it in another area?
No.
Second level.
No, it's a higher level.
Second level.
And it would be things like governmental level.
Okay.
It would be
cities, because when you go into a city, you can actually.
Yeah, you can't walk into another city and cause out
the main
demons in the air. You know, that is the angels and the demons that's fighting.
Okay.
So for example,
you can feel the spirit of the world. Yeah, and
that's
a principality. Say, yeah, or say for. Say for example, over Camperdown, there's this spirit of witchcraft or spirit of murder, whatever, that stronghold over the area. And I go and I rebuke the spirit of murder that is hanging around in this area, the principality. I will have a problem because if that murderous spirit is in you, then I have the authority to cast him out. My authority is to cast him out or to bind him in this person so that I can cast him out, not while he's over there.
And now if we're praying over the town because there's like animosity or whatever, or to save the town, is that, if it be going as a team, is that not the same thing? If you're not?
No.
Yeah, so there's definitely like strongholds in Canberra.
There's a stronghold
in
see, for
we've
India.
Tried, and we realize that we're actually not going.
No.
Well, that's exactly what Tess
no.
is saying
to
us.
Yeah, we're not getting nowhere with it, you know what I mean?
That's where you ask God to send his angels to fight for you and to help you to push back darkness. For instance, the spirit of Jezebel is the one that you don't. That's a principality. But the small ones under Jezebel would be things like witchcraft. It would be rebellion, control, manipulation. So those things we can work into, but we cannot talk to Jezebel.
Guys, the point that I would like to make is that you see the whole idea, if you look at scripture, Jesus says that, he says, these are the signs that will follow them who believe in me. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will be healed. They will cast out demons. There is the secret, guys. You and I are part of the church. It is your and my authority to go and pray for people that are sick, to cast demons out of people. Otherwise, he would have said, go and make war against the principalities. That is not what. Now, all of a sudden, through the years of spiritual warfare, there's so many man-made ideas. And we've also run with that thing. I mean, I've also thought, hey, I'm going to take this thing on. And, I mean, the mistake that I've made. I mean, there was a, what do you call it, an adult shop there in Pinetown. Still there. You know how many times I've drove past that thing, Ahmad, and I've spit and shouted and rebuke the thing, and bind the thing, and curse the thing, whatever. That thing is shining like a star there. Had no impact whatsoever.
Yeah. And that's what Paul and I did with the Freemason.
And what happened?
You're still there.
Oh my word.
What happened at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Because of the fact, because of the thing is that I didn't have authority to. Before I know it, and oh my word, oh my, this thing, whoo, there's beautiful things happening on this thing. And that thing came, I'll teach you. So if you go and go outside your authority, then I will draw you in. And
so
oh my
our authority word. Is just to deliver people.
That is
don't
what the
mess around with anything else.
Who has food? Who has the authority to? So it's the big boy, Jesus.
Angels.
The angels. You ask Jesus and you ask God to send. Because Daniel says, the book in Daniel 10, God sent the angel. You remember that part?
Yeah.
He said, and from the moment that you've prayed, it took him 21 days. And then the angel said to him, now I have to go and fight the principality or the prince of so-and-so. You and I don't. And that is where the problem comes in. There, it's God's business. Here, It's our business. Okay. This is something different as a group now. We go and we pray. Say, for example, we go and we stand at this adult shop. In the past, I say, I shut this thing in the name of Jesus. I curse this thing. I close it down and all those kind of things. Now I've learned my lesson. As a group, I will go and I'll say, God, we pray that you will send your angels to shut this place down. We have the authority for that. Or we come to the Campanile Club and we say, God, I pray that you will send your angels to shut it down. Now I ask God to keep it open so that we can preach. Because we like this place. But you see, learn to answer your question.
Now I understand it much better now.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I've never understood it before. As deeply as that.
I think if you know you're going somewhere where you know that you're going to get opposition, then you prepare yourself. I think that's why Jesus was about praying and fasting.
Mm.
You prepare yourself. You know you're going into a place where you know you're going to get problems.
Mm.
You yourself have to be prepared for that. Remember when we used to have a fast before we went to Swaziland? Because we know we're preparing ourselves in a way for a war, for a battle. You know?
I just want to read a quick testimony on the same point. Now, you say that he was at somewhere or at a church in Houston, and there's this lady that came, a beautiful lady that came to him, and she said, no, every time they are going around, and she and a group of people, and they bind these things, but there was issues in her life. So he said, they asked her, is there any unconfessed sin in your life? She said, no. So he said, then finally, I said, have you attempted to do spiritual warfare against demons that have a territorial assignment with external assignments and are not demons you are struggling with inside your own life? Oh, every day, she said, I walk around my neighborhood and bind spirits over certain houses and over my city. Immediately, he said, immediately I knew that was the problem. I talked with her at length about the authority that God had given to believers. I reminded her that the Bible is very clear that these kind of battles belong to God and to angels, not to her. I asked her if she could confess that she had gone beyond the realm of authority, and she said yes. Very simply, she did that. Just confessed. After she did it, I went back to the deliverance process. So he was doing deliverance on her. I went back to the deliverance process and commanded that the territorial spirit identify himself. She looked stunned as she gave me his name and said, that is the name of my subdivision. Says, in the name of, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I command that demon spirit, or I command the demon spirit confess to her that he would leave her and not bother her again. From her own lips came these words, if she will leave me alone, I will leave her alone.
Whoa. So I've got a question to ask you.
Yeah?
I used to have a lot of dreams. I still dream, but in the night, a dwarf used to come and visit me.
Yeah?
A dwarf.
Dwarf?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Togoloshi.
Yeah. And he used to come, it was in my dream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could visualize. And it wasn't once, it was many times. The same person. But I remember when I was a child, I had a dream that I went down the stairs to where we used to stay, and in the pantry, in the bottle, there was a dwarf. From that time, I used to have those dreams.
That's interesting.
Now, why was there a bottle?
I don't know. I just saw a bottle with a small little guy in the bottle.
Maybe it was a baby or
something. No, I don't know. But I know that where I used to stay, I used to see witches as well as a boy. And he used to look at me and point at me and laugh at me.
Real witches, or in the spirit?
No, in the spirit. I could see
in
this
the spirit,
witch.
Okay.
But again, England was full of witches. Eh?
Mm.
I mean. But I'm just saying that I carried that for years. That dream of the dwarf.
But you see, now the thing is, because we are at the church, it's not teaching these type of things. Now we are sitting with these things, and we don't know why.
And how many people have got dwarves in their gardens?
Oh, you mean gnomes?
No, I'm telling you, when I came to that house for the first time, his sister, their whole garden, this was maybe double the size of this, it was full of gnomes. I couldn't believe it. Mm. I looked at her and I thought, what? I'm going to throw them all away. Mm.
So those guys never left. They obviously multiplied.
Do you still have those dreams, Paul?
No.
Oh, it's all gone now since.
No, no, I don't have that dream anymore.
Sure, but very interesting.
For years I dreamt. Especially in the night when you're sleeping.
I came to
the night. Come in the night.
Paul, when you got saved, did you have
them? Did
you have them before you got saved?
I had them before, but I think a little bit out. Look, once you start to understand how the whole salvation works, I think that they slowly but surely they didn't come so much, you know?
Okay.
So
I remember.
You also been away from there.
Yeah.
That was probably also a territorial spirit in that area.
Yeah, I'm sure. The witch was definitely the witch.
Yeah.
I mean, as a young boy, I used to look out the window and I could see that witch pointing her finger at me and laughing at me.
That's scary.
Okay.
You see, guys, the thing is that we are not focusing here on the demons. I mean, that is the idea is we are learning about this so that we can use the authority of Jesus to deal with this thing, because that is what we want to. So when we start with this thing, you'll see if when something like this happened, one of the first questions you ask that thing, people will say, but you do not speak to demons. Yes, we do not speak to demons, but the thing is, there are certain things that I'm not having a conversation with a demon when I do deliverance, in the sense of entertain him to tell me things. I'm the one who's asking the questions specifically, and there's only certain questions that you will ask. Jesus himself was asking this the man with a legion of spirits. He asked him, what is your name? Very important eventually that we find out, how did you come into this person's life? Because many times the person doesn't even know, if my grandfather did something, are you with me? If my grandfather murdered an African guy, or my great-grandfather, I don't know about that. But the demon knows about that thing. And that is where the open door is, and perhaps coming in, and all of a sudden I'm sitting with this incredible rage and racism that is in, and I don't have a foggiest idea with it. So in other words, if you ask me, how did you get in? And he will tell you, no, this guy's grandfather murdered so and so. Then I have then the right. Then I'll ask him the next question. Do you have a right to be here? No. So, Paul, are you prepared to confess that thing? Are you prepared to renounce it? Are you prepared to close the door? Yes, I'm prepared. Said the demon, okay, from now on, you will not come back and harass or. This curse is now broken over this person's life, and now at least you are free and your children is free. Okay. I'm convinced we are going to see many of these things, but one of the things that you will see is that they always will manifest in a certain way. For example, fear. One of the major ones is fear. The strong man is fear. So even as a name, Apollyon. The book of Revelation talk about Apollyon. So in other words, with him goes anxiety, with him goes stress and so on. Many times that we've ministered, I will speak to a person and then I'll have this thought that's coming into my head, and I mentioned it last week, of an octopus sitting on top of the person's head, and then I'll go and I will remove this octopus from the person's head. And that's not Apollyon. This one is confusion, doubt, unbelief, skepticism, always manifest as an octopus. Some of them will even tell you, I'm an octopus. Or the image that the person will have, you, if you ask him, what do you see? You say, no, I see an octopus. That is usually this one. In other words, what he does is he blocks and twists the truth so the truth doesn't get to this person. Or you will see Apollyon, he's the one that, or you will see, person will tell you that I see a scorpion. or I'll see a frog or whatever the, ever the case may be. And then at least, then you know how to deal with this thing and what to look for and so on. Cool. So I've said a lot now for 40 minutes. Any questions, guys?
So if a person suffers with stress and anxiety and all that type of thing, now is that like a demonic thing?
That is the main...
It could be.
In all probability, most probable, it is caused by a demon that is... And if you really start going deeper into this thing, then eventually this thing will say to you, that is where the open door came.
So if a person's got more than one demon, I was listening to Mary Magdalene, seven demons were cast out of her. Seven demons were cast out.